We'll be picking up in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we come to a section of Paul's letter dealing with a wonderful subject that is sometimes perceived or received with a negative stigma. Generally speaking, this particular topic Paul addresses is either talked about way too much in the church, or it's avoided like the plague, both of which are an unhealthy approach to an important subject that God's Word has a lot to say about. So what are we looking at? Well, hopefully above all, our eyes are drawn to Jesus and the wonder of what he's done. And now we've already been doing that in song, and we'll continue to do it as we go through this chapter. But the specific topic Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is led to address in chapters 8 and 9 is that of giving. It seems the Corinthians had been stirred in the past and had plans to give generously a collection for the saints in Jerusalem, but then they never followed through. We don't know exactly why. Maybe it's because they received the letter of 1 Corinthians and their hearts got a little harder. I don't know. But this is an exhortation specifically to them from Paul, where he's offering instructions on picking up where they left off. And so these are specific instructions for them, but they're instructions that we would be wise to heed as well. Now, if you were visiting for the first time, I don't see any brand new visitors, but maybe you would think, well, here we go, talking about giving. And you're thinking, you know, just how typical of a church, another sermon on giving. Well, please know the reason we are talking about giving is because that's what's in chapter 8. And the reason we're in chapter 8 is because we left off with chapter 7 last week. And I feel that the Lord has led me to, as a general rule, go verse by verse through God's word. So if you feel that you've walked into a setup, it could be, but it wasn't me who set you up. So maybe you should take notes. And my sincere hope and prayer for all of us is that we did walk into a setup, that God has something wonderful set up for us as we turn our eyes to him, as we worship, as we spend time together as his body, and as we open up his word, may he speak to each and every one of us. So let's go before him in prayer and invite him to do exactly that. Lord, here we are, and what a treasure to, by faith, know that you are here in our midst. Lord, forgive me for, in so many, I guess, practical ways, forgetting that to be a reality, that our Savior is here in our midst. And Lord, we need to hear from you. Your people need to be fed by you this morning. They don't need to hear wisdom from a man. So Holy Spirit, please, open your word and speak to each and every one of us exactly what you would have us to hear. Lord, we want you to be exalted above all else. And Lord, we want to walk out of this place changed. So we ask that you would move, Lord, that you would remove distractions. Lord, that you would bind the enemy from having any sort of place in this gathering. Lord, that you would protect hearts and minds. And just that the sheep of your pasture would be fed by the good shepherd this morning. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's consider why this topic of giving sometimes has a little bit of a negative reputation, where people recoil and say, ooh, a message on giving. Well, for one, there's a legitimate issue with churches who are all about the dollars, and consequently, they will slip into the message a little spin with an emphasis or a desire of squeezing a little bit more money out of the congregation. You know, just tuck in that love gift. The ushers will be coming around for the third time. And that's out there, and that's a problem. Not too many months back, I was in a barbershop in Whitefish and had a man, I think he overheard me talking to the lady who was cutting my hair about what I do, but he just started railing on a local pastor who was taking all this tax-free money and getting rich. And I don't think he knew what he was talking about, but you could sense he was triggered by the mention of church to feel that they were after his money. And I'm thankful that's not true of most churches that I've attended. I hope that's not true of many churches in this valley. But there are enough out there begging for money that it does give some weight to those sorts of gripes. However, I've found that most of the people that complain like that, who are accusing churches of wanting their money, generally they're just offering a generalization because they would rather not set foot in a church anyways. And so that's their pet peeve that they come up with to say, that's why I would never go to church. And if I were to say to them, well, you should come to West Hills Chapel because we won't ask you for a dime, then they would be like, my wife wants me to mow the lawn, or I have a dentist appointment on Monday I got to get ready for, something like that. So there's people who just don't want to be in church. And on the flip side of those who despise the topic of giving because of the church's abuse of it, there's just as many who, I would say, despise the topic of giving because they love their money and they don't want to give any of it. And then you have your pastors who don't want to be seen as a televangelist, or they don't want to give any fodder to those complainers, so they try to avoid the subject. And that's where I have to be careful. But none of these approaches are of God. None of them are, of Him. What we will be reminded of this morning in this chapter is that giving is biblical. It's part of God's plan, and it's actually a gift of His to us that we can give to Him. So with that in mind, sections of Scripture like 1 Corinthians 8, they are important and they should be valued because they reveal God's heart on the matter. And that's what we need, is to hear God's heart on the matter. We don't need the opinion of, somebody on TV who's trying to get us to help them buy a new jet, or we don't need the bitter opinion of a man in a barbershop in Whitefish. We need to hear from our God who loves us and whose gifts to us will never end. In our prayer meeting last Sunday night, my dad shared from Romans 8:32. Listen to this. Be refreshed by this. This is our God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's our God. He's not out for your money. He's after your heart. And he's longing to bless you with gifts from above throughout eternity. So, picking up in verse 1, we are first going to be pointed to the example of giving from the heart. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God.